Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, continue with guarantees when we pray. Matthew 7, verse 7 and 8. Matthew 7, 7 and 8. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. We've been looking at this for the past 2 weeks now, I think, 2 weeks now, and we started by looking at ask and it will be given to you. We said the condition, there are conditions that fulfill the guarantee. One of the key things that you must understand is that you have to ask from God. You don't ask from people and expect to receive. You ask from God, who is the one who gives all good gifts to his very own. Ask in faith, believing. If you ask anything, believing, you will receive it. Forgive when you ask. Patiently wait for God after you have asked. Bible says you need patience after you have done all things so that you can inherit the promise. Ask according to the will of God. Ask in the power of the Holy Spirit. Abide in Christ. Let his word abide in you when you ask. Make sure that you are abiding in Christ. His word is abiding in you. If you are in corporate prayer or even as an individual, make sure that you are in agreement with God. If you are in corporate prayer, make sure that you are united, you are in agreement with yourselves and with God. Keep sin far away from you. Far away from you. Please God by keeping his word and by obeying him. Ask in the name of Jesus. And there's one thing you must never forget. It is that in your asking, make sure that you are thankful to God and make sure that you keep your own promises. If you made a vow, pay your vow. Vows to God, vows to men, keep your promises. And you do all of that, you will see God surprising you with asking, I mean, with giving you answers each time you ask. This morning we want to move on to the second aspect, which is seek and you will find. He says, because everyone who seeks finds. Now this is a very significant thing because many of us are seeking for things. And yet we have a guarantee that he who seeks finds. First, let me explain what it means, the word, when you see the word seek in the Bible. To seek something or to seek for something in the Bible is to organize a search with an objective to find. In other words, you don't stop the search until you find. No matter how long it may take, you continue to seek until you find. That is what is meant here. But the issue is this. When it says everyone who seeks finds, it is saying everyone who seeks from God is the one that finds. Praise the name of the Lord. But there is a deeper meaning to that. And we are going to look at that in a moment. But let's read for now Proverbs chapter 2 from verse 1 to 5. Proverbs 2, 1 to 5. Or let's take it right through to 7. Let's take it to 7. There's so many things, in fact, in that. Okay, let's take it to 9. Proverbs chapter 2 from verse 1 to 9. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom from his mouth. Come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the ways of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity and every good path. Lord bless you his word in Jesus' name. He says when you are looking for wisdom, if you search for wisdom as though you are looking for gold or silver, the same energy that we put into looking for ephemeral things, that we put into looking for mundane things, if we diverted that energy into searching for wisdom, it says you will come in contact with the fear of the Lord. And then you will now find wisdom. The Bible says the beginning of wisdom is what? The fear. The moment you encounter the fear of the Lord, you have started entering into the paths of wisdom. If you are searching for wisdom. But the Lord has an easier way for us. If you look at verse 7 of Proverbs chapter 2, it says, he stores up sound wisdom. Where is sound wisdom now? Where? Is in God. He stores it up for whom now? The upright. He's a shield to those who walk uprightly. It says, he guards the path of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Everything that you need as a child of God is in God. So when you read, seek and you will find. This is the import of that statement. It means seek God. Everything you are looking for is where now? is in God. So search for God. When you find God, if you can find Him, you have found those things. Remember what the Bible says in Matthew 6 and 3. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these other things which the Gentiles are searching for, what will happen? They'll be added to you. In Psalm 27, verse 8 to 10. Psalm 27, from verse 8 to verse 10. The Bible says, when you said, seek my face. This is God speaking now. David was saying this about God. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care. God said to David, as he's saying to you and I, stop seeking for things. Do what? Seek me. Seek my face. And David said, my heart said, indeed, your face I will seek. I'm going to look for you. I will look for your face until I can see your face. I'm going to explain what it means to seek the face of the Lord in a moment. In Psalm 24, verse 6, the Bible says, this is Jacob, the generation of those who seek your face. We are the people of God, a generation that seeks God. And in seeking God, we are seeking what? His face. In a moment, we are going to see what it means to say, I am seeking the face of the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 55, from verse 6 and 7. Isaiah 55:6-7. Seek the Lord while he may be. Call upon him while he is near. That scripture tells me easily that there is a time to find God. There's a time when you cannot find God. The time to find God is now. If you are looking for God after the rapture, you won't find God. It will be too late for you by that time. Now is the time of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the time to search for God. Now is the time to look for God. Look at verse 7. It says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. That gives us an understanding of what it means to seek the Lord. One of the things that we mean when we say, I am seeking the Lord, or when I'm seeking the face of the Lord, is I am seeking his favor. I am seeking his mercy. Another thing, when I'm seeking the face of the Lord, is I'm seeking him for forgiveness. A sinner must seek God for forgiveness. A believer who has sinned must seek God for forgiveness. You don't get up and say, I'm seeking the Lord for something. When you have sin in your life, you must seek God's face for the forgiveness of that sin. And then you can now proceed to seek God for other things. In Hosea chapter 5 verse 15, this is God speaking. I will return again to my place till they acknowledge their offense. Then they will seek my face. In their affliction, they will earnestly seek me. A man who has not yet repented of sin and says he's seeking God, God says, I'm going to return. I will wait until he realizes that he has actually sinned. And then he comes looking for me for forgiveness. When he has been afflicted, he will begin to look for me. So sometimes, God allows us to go through some tough times because he wants us to come and look for him, to come and search him out. We're talking about seeking God in repentance for sin. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, we know that scripture, I'm sure some of us can put it by heart. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, from verse 14, I want to read right through to verse 16. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and what? Seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. This was the temple that God was talking about here. But more importantly, God is speaking about you and I. Because now, when you are born again, you are now the temple of God. So if the people who are the temple of God would turn away from their wicked ways, will humble themselves and seek God's face, he will come and heal them. He will heal their hearts. He will heal their backsliding. He will heal the works of their hands. He will touch everything that he needs to touch in their lives and change their situation as it needs to change their situation. In 2 Chronicles chapter 33, Verse 12 to 13, we read the story of a very wicked king, Manasseh, who would not listen to God, who brought, he was so corrupt that God vowed to take Israel into exile. But before he did that, before God took Israel to exile, Judah rather, into exile, he grabbed this Manasseh and sent Manasseh into exile. While Manasseh was in prison, this happened. Verse 12 and 13, let's read it now. While he was in prison, let me read from verse 11. Therefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the army of the king of Assyria, who took Manasseh with hooks, bound him with bronze fetters, and carried him off to Babylon. Now verse 12. Now, when he, that is Manasseh, was in affliction, many people think that affliction is a bad thing. Affliction is one of the means by which God uses to bring his people back to him. When Manasseh was in affliction, he implored the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed to him, and he received his entreaty, heard his supplication, and brought him back to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. Manasseh, the Bible says, humbled himself how? Greatly, greatly. That is how we seek God's face. And when we seek God's face, we will definitely find him. But there's one little comma, if I may use that expression, in the seeking of God's face in the place of repentance, where the sin or the act is deliberate. Proverbs chapter 1. Let me read it from verse 20 to the end. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses, at the openings of the gates in the city. She speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? You scorners delight in their scorning, and for scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm, and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. There's a time to find God. The time to find God is now that he's calling you. But when he's calling you and you refuse, you rebel, you cast aside his rebuke, and so on and so forth, a time is going to come when you enter into the depths and you begin to say, Lord, come. He says, I will not hear you. He will not take a deliberate action. I will not listen to you. And he will hide himself. You will not be able to find him. Verse 29. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would have known my counsel. They would have known of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. In verse 1, it says, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they refused God's counsel. So that's why, when these ones are seeking me, I'm not going to listen to them. And the only way these ones can really find God is to come back to repentance. If we will repent, humble ourselves, we cannot just go to God and say, well, Lord, you know, we are seeking you, we are seeking your face, seeking your... He will hear you. If you say you have been searching for God and you've not found him, I ask you one question. Have you repented of your acts of rebellion, disobedience to God? Because he can be found. God can be found. Yes, he hides himself, but then he can be found. Henceforth, when we say, I'm seeking the face of the Lord, the starting point is seeking his face in repentance. That's the starting point. I have sinned against you, Lord, and I'm coming to you now to repent. Have mercy on me. I want to find you. Help me to find you. And you will find the Lord in Jesus' name. Seeking the Lord, or seeking the face of God, is also has something to do with receiving favor from God. A lot of people talk about favor, but I doubt if they understand what it really means or how it is obtained. Favor is not obtained because I say receive favor. Favor is obtained because God wants to give it. In Numbers chapter 6, from verse 22 to 27. Numbers 6, 22 to 27. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his son, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance, his smile upon you, and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Told the chief priest, you will make a pronouncement, and I will now bless them. Then the chief priest that makes a pronouncement concerning us, who is that chief priest now? Is the Lord Jesus. He makes the pronouncement upon us. And we are, because he says we are blessed, we are blessed. But what is key here is the fact that he says, the Lord make his face shine upon you. That is, we are talking of the favor of God, the radiance of God shining upon a man. Remember when Moses went into the tabernacle to meet with God? Let's read that story. Exodus 33 from verse 12 to 32. Exodus 33 from verse 12 to 32. Then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight, or favor in my sight. Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people. Moses began to probe, haven't gone to God on behalf of the people in repentance for their sin. Of the, what's that thing now? The graven image, was that? Of the golden calf. Haven't received the forgiveness. He now pressed further, seeking God's face. So the Lord said to Moses, verse 17, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And he said, please show me your glory. Let me see your face. Then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. That was Moses. But we have Jesus. The people who saw the law, they couldn't live. But those who see Christ, what do they see? What happens to them? They live. Let's continue to verse 21. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, and it shall stand on the rock. So it shall be, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my backs, but my face shall not be seen. What is that rock that God said was going to put Moses inside? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. But because he hasn't come at that time, they had to hide it. Now he has come. We are in him. We can see the face of God. Moses saw the past of God. We see the future of God. We can see his face. We can see his favor. God told Moses that I'm going to let all my goodness pass before you. That's the goodness of God. The favor of God is the goodness of God. It's the power of God, the might of God, the wonderful things that God is doing. If you go to chapter 34, and I'm going to read from verse 29. This was after Moses had finished with God, after seeing the back parts of God, after seeing the goodness of God, which God had done in the past, after being in the presence of God, verse 29, down to the end. Now it was so, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimonies were in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him, that is with God. So when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. Then Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the children of Israel came near, and he gave them as commandment all that the Lord has spoken with him on Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out, and he would come out and speak to the children of Israel whatever he had been commanded. And whenever the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, then Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul expounds this to us, that every time Moses went before the Lord and his face was shining, he would come out. But when that face begins, when the glory begins to fade, he will quickly cover his face, so that his face had been changed. And he didn't want people to now begin to see. It's like women, and well, women understand this. The woman who is bleaching, she continues to bleach, because the moment she stops, what happens to her face? It becomes more ugly. So she must continue to bleach and continue to do things to keep that face going. In our own case, we are not like Moses. That's what the Bible says. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18, let's look at it. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18. When you are seeking the face of God, and you have found God, and you have seen his face, it says, but we all with unveiled face. What is an unveiled face? An uncovered face. So there is no sin in us.
Every sin, everything that we've committed, we have laid bare before God. There's no pretense in us. There's no deceit in us. There's no deception in us. There's no hypocrisy in us. Everything we have laid bare before God. With unveiled faces, we are not bringing a decree from somewhere that does not exist. We are not trying to bamboozle people into thinking that we are what we are not. We come before God bare, unveiled face. Beholding as in a mirror. What are we beholding now? We are beholding the word of God. The Bible says that the word of God is like a mirror. As we are beholding the word of God, looking intently on the word, the glorious word of liberty that sets men free. As we look upon it, the glory of the Lord, and beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord in his word. The word of God has the glory of God in it. If only we will look at it intently. If only we will seek God in his word intently. We seek in the word of God for promises. We seek in the word of God for things that we don't seek God. When Moses was talking to God, he said, show me your glory that I may know you. Not that I may receive something, but I may know you. As we look at the word of God intently, with unveiled faces, uncovered faces, seeking to know him in the word. Not searching for promises of healing and other things, but seeking to know God in his word. What happens to us? We are being transformed into the same image. From glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. There is a transformation that comes upon your life, both physical and spiritual. It can be seen. There was a song that we used to sing in those days. People, they ask me, say, waiting, they make me smile. I may tell them, say, now Jesus, they make me. That song came out of someone whose face is shining, even though the man is going through trouble. And they are saying, how come you, in this kind of economic hardship, you are able to smile? And he will say, the reason why I'm smiling is because of Jesus in my life. How I wish we could say that. But I see Christians, if they don't have one thing, they are sad. They don't have another thing, they are sad. Because they are not interested in God. They are interested in things. Asking is for babies. Seeking is for people who are growing in a more mature way. When you ask, you are seeking to receive something from the hands of God. But when you are seeking for God, you are seeking his face. You want to behold his face. When you see the face of God, what will happen is that the radiance that comes from the face of God that shines upon you, that thing that is upon you is the favor of God. It is that thing that we receive. It is not the physical thing. It's the glory of God that enables you to enter a place and receive all that God wants you to receive from that place because of his favor upon you. Because of the countenance of his face that has shone upon you and that is reflecting. Because the image of Christ, when God looks upon us like that, the image of Christ is what is, we are being transformed into the same image. We're not talking of a photographic image. We're talking of the character, the same nature of Christ. Who did not revile when he was reviled? Who did no wrong and yet was ready to pay the sacrifice of death for man? Proverbs 18:22. Let's give meaning to this scripture, full meaning to this scripture. Because many people have quoted Proverbs 18:22 and have wondered when they quote it and they give an interpretation. Proverbs 18:22. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. It is the favor that is the favor of God that makes you to see a good wife. When the favor of God is not upon you, you can't get a good wife. The favor of God, when it comes upon you, when God's face shines upon you, you will see the woman that God has for you, and you will know this is a good gift. This is a good gift. But if the favor of God is not upon you, you will pick a street girl, even though she's in church, she's singing in the choir. You will pick a street girl. That's a man who has not received favor from the Lord. A good wife comes as a result of the favor of God upon a man's life. Look at the people who refuse God. Just look at the people who refuse to follow the word of God. Who refuse to follow the leading of God. They end up with street girls in church. You see them as pastors, but they have nothing on their... Their wives are different from them. Long nails, painted nails, earrings, lipsticks, everything. No comportment, nothing. They pick the street girl because they did not seek the face of God. Remember, wisdom is in God. A good wife is in God. Everything that you are looking for is where? Is in God. There are counterfeits, however, they are not in God. Do you understand? So you can actually pick a counterfeit and think that you got it from God. There are people who have children that God did not give them. I hope you know that. As in God said, this one, I give a gift from God. A child, the fruit of the womb, is a gift that God gives. But there are people who are obtaining babies from different means, and God did not sanction this. He picked them somewhere, counterfeits. But the real deal comes from. I pray that beginning from today, you will seek God first, and then every other thing, you begin to see them. Thirdly, when we say seek God, that he who seeks God will find, we are talking of being devoted to God. We are talking of a devotion to God. 2 Chronicles chapter 15. In fact, 2 Chronicles is one set of books, is a book rather, where God kept talking about people seeking him. He spoke about Israel seeking God, seeking God, seeking God. 2 Chronicles 15, take it from verse 1, right to verse 4. What's his name now? Is it Asa? Asa had gone to war also, and God had given him victory over the Ethiopians. I think they had 1 million troops or something. And a handful of men, he brought victory to Judah. Now, when they were returning to Jerusalem, from verse 1 now of 2 Chronicles chapter 15, now the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said to him, "Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him." Please, I want you to know that thing. When is God with you? While you are with him. You cannot be in the different place and say, "The Lord is with me." The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, what will happen? He will be found by you. But if you forsake him, what will happen? To seek God is to be devoted to make it a devotion. Not to seek God is to forsake God. Many of us are so fixated about the things that we are looking for that we don't seek God. It is in God that you get all those things. Everything you are looking for is in God. And it's everything that a child of God should receive is in God. Verse 3. For a long time, Israel has been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without law. This was the nation of Israel. They were without three things. What were those three things? God was not there. There are no priests teaching them. And they had no word. The word of God was not. It's like many churches today. They are without the true God. They have a God, but it's not the true God. It's the God of their bishop. And it's not the Almighty God. They don't have a teaching priest. They don't have a teaching pastor. They don't have a teaching bishop. They have one fellow that just comes to meet them. Everybody's looking for prophecy now. Prophesy over my head. Prophesy over my head. That's what they're looking for. No teaching. By knowledge are the righteous be delivered. No teaching. So they're in captivity. No word of God. Verse 4. But when in their trouble they turned to the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found by seek God in repentance.
You will find him.
Be devoted to God.
You will find him.
God is not difficult to find. It is men who don't want to find God. A lot of times we come to God and say, "I want something from God." We want the thing, but we don't want God. That's why somebody can receive a miracle from God and just vanish. All he wanted was a miracle. What is present in God? People come to church looking for wife. People come to church looking for a husband. Once they are married, that's it. They're gone. They don't care about God anymore.
Praise the name of the Lord. In Psalm 63, verse 1. Psalm 63, verse 1. This is how a heart that is seeking God, this is how it sounds. I think there was one advert that I heard once. It was on radio. They were advertising a drug. So they said they were giving heartbeats of hearts, different hearts, different hearts. There was one heart, when you hear the sound of that heart, it's as if metals, it's as if it's a knocked engine. But here is the heart that is seeking the face of God. This is how it sounds. Psalm 63 verse 1. Oh God, you are my God.
Early will I.
A heart that sees God. When does it see God?
It sees God before trouble.
Comes. That's early.
It sees God first.
That's early.
It seeks God as a matter of priority.
That is early.
It doesn't seek God when everything does scatter. Even though it's good to seek God there, but you see, you don't have to wait until everything scatters. You can find God before everything scatters if you will seek him early. It is my soul thirsts for you.
That's a heart that wants to seek God. A heart that's not interested in God. The soul thirsts for things. The soul thirsts for a miracle. Thirsts for a gift. Thirsts for left, right, and center. But let me tell you something. The day you see the face of God, you see all those things that people are running after. You just, at the appropriate time, if you will seek him. At the appropriate time,
you will not be running helter-skelter. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there's no water. He said, if you will seek God like a man who is thirsty, like a man who is hungry, a man who's, we don't have deserts here. If you've seen somebody who has spent days in the desert without water, when that man sees water, he will almost want to drink it, but he said, no, use it to touch. Just touch your face. You can die drinking water like that because your body has not received water. You must take it little by, otherwise it can kill you little by little, little by little. That is what it's describing. A hand that is thirsty for God. That says, I want to see the face of God. It's not satisfied with the hand of God. It's not satisfied with the back of God. He wants to see the face. No wonder Jesus said, we are blessed. Moses desired to see the face of God. He couldn't. David desired to see the face of God. He couldn't. They saw imageries.
We can see the face of God. And yet, we're not seeking. All we want are his hands. Give me.
Imagine a father. What do children seek from their father when he comes back from work? Do you see any of the children going to carry anything? Daddy, where's my biscuit? That's what children ask for. They want something.
As you mature on the face of the father, you want to get his attention. You want to be able to discuss some deep things. You want to hear from him.
The same is expressed, very similar to the expressed in Psalm 42, verse 1 and 2. Psalm 42, verse 1 and 2. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God.
If you watch Nat Geo, but animals, even when they're showing lions, you see the deer,
in spite of the lions around, where are they all going to?
The water, they're going to the place of water to drink.
They know that they can be killed there when they're going for that water. That's what they say. Even if it will kill me, I'm looking for God. I'm seeking for his God, I'm looking for.
Verse 2, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear? This is a heart that is devoted to God, that is seeking the face of his glory. We shouldn't be talking about things. We should be talking about God. It is when you find God that all these things come.
Seeking God is about focusing on the things of God. The things that we call the heartbeat of God. Seeking first the kingdom of God, and all these other things shall be added unto you. In 2 Chronicles chapter 1, from verse 7 to 12, we know that story, we know the story from that scripture very, very well. How God came to Solomon and asked Solomon to ask him for something. And Solomon asked for wisdom. And let's read that story from from 7 to 12. On that night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, ask, what shall I give you? And Solomon said to God, you have shown great mercy to God, to David, my father, and have made me king in his place. Now, O Lord God, let your promise to David, my father, be established. For you have made me king over a people, like the dust of the earth in multitude. Now give me wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this great people of yours? Then God said to Solomon, because this was in your heart, and you have not asked riches or wealth or honor or the life of your enemies, nor have you asked long life, but have asked wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge are granted to you, and I will give you riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had who were before you, nor shall any after you have the life. What was Solomon's uppermost desire when he was asking God?
What was his uppermost desire?
To be able to judge the people
of God.
He was not asking wisdom for himself, just so that he can be known as the wisest man on the earth. He was asking it so that he can judge God's people aright. The kingdom of God was very much present in his heart. Seek ye first
the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And the thing he didn't ask for, riches, wealth, honor, and all those things God added to him. He sought for wisdom concerning the kingdom of God. You seek for the things that concern the kingdom of God, and you will see how God will begin to increase you in a way like never before.
I know that many people have assumed here, fortunately, that it was because Solomon gave God something. That was why God came to ask. It is true that Solomon gave a 1,000 burnt offering. As thanksgiving. But what released it more than anything is the heart of Solomon towards God. The gift was there. There were many people who were giving gifts, but their heart was not right. If your heart is right and you give a gift to God, that's okay. But does God eat goods?
It was a heart of thankfulness. It was a thankful heart that triggered God coming to ask Solomon, ask what you want. Solomon asked for wisdom, knowledge, that he might use it to be a blessing to the people of God.
When we ask for cars and house, do we ask for it so that we can be a blessing to the rule of God?
Definitely not. It's for ourselves. I said, let us pray for a car. Now, none of you will be praying for a car, that when that car comes, we'll use it to be taking people. Instead, to be taking people from church, never.
Instead,
we are going to get footmats that if one grain of sand should touch it, you make sure that the footmat is white. And you tell everybody that, no, you can't enter this car. And you think this voice is white.
You get a house, nobody can come to the house for house fellowship. It's a fortress. And yet, we say we are asking something from God. In John chapter 6, verse 27, when the people were looking for Jesus to make him king, because they had been fed, what was it that the Lord said in verse 27? John 6:27. He said, do not labor for the food which perishes,
but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. What should you be seeking for? The things of the kingdom, the things that lead to everlasting life.
I know it doesn't make sense to tell somebody that looking for this and looking for that is go and look for God.
The people can't understand it. It is in God that all your blessings are. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Where? In heavenly places.
It is there
that those blessings are.
They are released as we seek the things of the kingdom. As we seek heavenward,
they are released.
Hannah wanted a child, and Hannah said, there were many people I'm sure in Israel who were having babies there present, and Hannah didn't have.
When Hannah asked for a baby, Hannah asked for a child, and said, give me this child, I will give this child to you. I'm not asking you to go and make vows. Go and make a vow that tomorrow you'll be promised. But she vowed, said, give me this child, let this child, let my womb just bring forth the child, and let the child pass through my birth canal, and give you this, I give you the child. And gave Samuel to God. Well, after she had weaned the boy, and never made that boy a burden to the priest. She kept taking things to him. But the point I'm trying to make is that Hannah, having given God Samuel, was herself blessed with how many more children? Is it three or four or five more children she had?
There's no one whose purpose, whose focus is on the things of God that God does not bless abundantly in return.
Philippians chapter 2, 19 to 21. Philippians 2:19-21.
But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. Is there any wonder that we have in the church today people who are behaving wantonly? In 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 10. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, not for ministry, to go and enjoy. Should I not do business? Of course, please do business by all means. If God says business is the line he has for you, do business by all means. But note that that business is God's business. It's not your business. You are an employee of, you may be called MP, you may be called chairman, but you are an employee of the Almighty God. That's your employee. That's your employer. It is what he says that you will do. You will do your own thing. Otherwise, you are no different from Demas, who left the things of God and went to Thessalonica, not for ministry, but to enjoy the world. In Haggai chapter 1, Haggai prophesied at the time when the people who had gone on exile had returned. And when they returned, they were to begin to build the temple. They had been given all kinds of things to build the temple. But these people, instead of focusing on building the temple, focus on building their own houses. They built up their business. They built up everything. And then they discovered that there were problems. And this is God's message to them through Haggai. From verse 2. Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, This people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then the word of the Lord came to Haggai, the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in paneled houses, and this temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. Let's pause. Can you imagine the condition of this people? Because they said it is not yet time to build the house of God, but they were focusing on building their own houses. I remember reading the account of Solomon. Solomon spent 7 years building the temple of God. And then he spent 13 years building his own house. Well, at least he built the temple first. These ones were not building nothing. They were building their own houses. Building their businesses. Building their careers. Building their vocations. Spending time on themselves. Doing everything to better their own lives. But the house of God and the things of God, they left. They said, it's not yet time. That time will come. Right now is the time for us to build ourselves. Let me ask you a question. Which one should come first? You or God? Like we heard on Tuesday when Paul was praying for the church. That they might have, that God might give them what? The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge. The first thing is to know God. That's the first thing. First thing is God, not yourself. If you ask any sensible business person, the first thing they do is build the business. The business will build their lives. You don't build your life and then come and build. No. You will run out of money. You build the business first. The business is established on a sound footing. Then the business will give you enough funds
to build your own house. We're not discussing business here. We're discussing you and God.
Build your life in God first
and see how God will come and beautify your own life himself. You will not be struggling to do that. And this was what they were doing.
And so he says, you have so much
and you bring him little.
You eat,
but do not have enough.
You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You're unsatisfied. There's no satisfaction, no fulfillment.
I'm sure you know what I'm talking about.
You run up and down, run up and down. You pursue a particular contract. The money comes.
And you start wondering, was this what I was running around?
No joy at the end of it. And then when you now have the money, the kind of bills that suddenly some bills will just arise at that time.
How many of you know what I'm talking about?
And the money you have been running after, bam, is gone. You start wondering, what was all the rush about? Meanwhile, in the rushing, what did you do?
You abandoned the house of God.
You abandoned the work of God. You abandoned your devotion to God.
Many of us will jump out to chase after business. We will not talk to God. We are all over the place. We are not spoken to God. So when the thing comes, you wonder, what was all the running about?
The joy you don't have. The satisfaction you don't have. You get the money, you go to a shop to buy a car. When they tell you how much the car you want to buy is, the money you have in your hand cannot buy it.
Verse 7.
Thus says the Lord of hosts,
consider your ways.
Go up to the mountains
and bring wood and build the temple that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord.
You look for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why? Says the Lord of hosts. Because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. Therefore, the heavens above you will hold the dew, and the earth withholds its fruit. For I call for a drought on the land, and the mountains, on the grain, and on the new wine, and on the oil, on whatever the ground brings forth, on men and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands.
Because people have not focused on the things. If we are going to be sincere with ourselves, you will realize that the times when things were coming to you easy were the times when you were focusing on the work of God. Times when you focused on the things of God. You saw God coming through for you.
And after a while, we fall back into our habit of being like a Jessica. There are many things that God has spoken to you about. And you won't do it. But your own small idea, you will not sleep. You will get up, carry pen and paper. You're quickly writing it. You have been listening to motivational speakers who tell you to write plans. You quickly write those ones. But when God gives you a word, you shall remember in the morning. But when you have your own small dream, one tiny petty dream, you pick up pen and paper. You won't be able to sleep again. You start writing. You say, have inspiration.
What inspiration?
Because it's making you already happy. You start writing. Meanwhile, God is not in it. And the one that God is in,
they're not focusing on that. My brothers, my sisters, let's focus on the things. Let's begin to build the house of God. Let's begin to build the temple of the Holy Ghost that is in you. Let's focus on making the things of God effectual.
You see a soul that is perishing. It is not you that will win the soul. Talk to the soul. Just talk to him. You may be sowing a seed. You may not be reaping a harvest. A time will come when you will reap a harvest. You are going to reap where you did not sow. And somebody else is going to have to reap where you have what?
Sow.
But you must sow. Let's make it a point. Henceforth, in our daily lives, talk to somebody about Jesus. And don't do it as in, well, let me quickly talk to this person and this, let me fulfill my conscience, satisfy my conscience that I spoke to somebody about Jesus. No! Do it with meaning, do it with gusto. Let it be seen that indeed you have this affinity for this God you're talking about. The divine guarantee of finding when we seek is predicated on seeking God first. You will find when you seek.
When God is the one you are seeking
first.
What this means? That you make God priority, you make God primary, you make God principal, you make God priceless in your heart. That's what it means. God says, seek God first.
God is priority over any other thing.
Priority. It's
primary. Every other thing is secondary, tertiary, and so on and so forth. God is primary. God is the principal. Every other thing is a vice principal or a minor thing. But God is principal.
When we were in school, if your teacher has given you instruction and the principal gives another instruction, which one do you follow?
The principal's instruction. Even if the teacher said,
sir, principal told me to, the teacher will back down. God should be principal. Finally, God should be priceless. That is when you will seek and you will find. Because God is the one you are seeking. It is his face you are seeking. His favor will envelope you. He is the one you are devoted to. He will be devoted to you.
When you are looking out for the things of God, God will look out for the things that concern you. When you seek God in repentance, you will find the forgiveness and the mercy of God.
All those who seek God truly, truly from their hearts, they always find. They always find. All those who seek, always find. Let's bow our heads to pray. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia.
Early to seek you before problems arise, to seek Him before my life becomes complicated. To seek Him before I enter into entanglement. To seek You early when You may be found. Help me, Lord, to seek after You. To seek You, Almighty God. To seek Your face. To seek and find Your favor. Your favor that gives a good wife. Your favor that gives good gifts to them who ask of You. Your favor that settles issues in the lives of men. Help me to see You while You are near. Whilst You are near me, it's easier to find You then than when You have gone far away. How I will be running after, and you will see that you are still farther away, and I might even get discouraged. But Lord, while You are near me, I can easily find You. Help me to divert my attention towards You, to divert my devotion to You, my focus on You. Help me, Almighty Everlasting God, to seek You and You alone, knowing that in You and everything that is needed for me. You have stored up things for me in You. You have stored up eternal life for me. You have stored up spiritual gifts for me. You have stored up even gifts for carnal use for me. Help me to seek You first. To seek You first. It is in seeking You first that everything is released. I know that. But I want to seek You first. I want to know You, Almighty and Everlasting God. Want to know You? To know You left, right, and center. To know all that I possibly can know of You. Even though it is not all. But let me know You. Let me know You, Lord. Let me know You, Lord. Let me know You, Lord. Let me know You, Almighty and Everlasting God. As I seek Your face, as I seek Your face with unveiled face, looking steadily into the mirror of the world to find the glory of the living God, let me be transformed from glory to glory, even as by Your Spirit. Let me seek Your face. Oh, yes, Lord, let me seek Your face.
I want to know You more. I want to know You
Yeah.
King of Kings and Lord of Lords, help us to begin to seek you. Help us to move, to graduate, as it were, to grow from merely asking to receive from your hands, to seeking your face, to seeking your face and receiving things that may not be seen and yet they are powerful. Help us, Lord, to seek you early that we might find you. Let us not be like Israel that was without a true God, without a teaching priest, and without a word. Help us to find you. Help us to seek and to find you. To the glory of your name. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen.